The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm outside and taking the air in Dublin Zoo because here to meet me is the elephant team leader, Christina Murphy, because I'm sure many people want to know what's it like to look after the elephants. And I know from my father, my grandfather, what it used to be like looking after the elephants, but I'm told that everything has changed. We'll also be talking to Jenny Dunn, who is looking after commercial operations here at Dublin Zoo, and they have loads and loads of plans, very interesting things, the like of which never would have happened in my father's time. Anyway, Christina, first of all, how long have you been working with elephants?
So I'm here at Dublin Zoo for 11 years, and I've been working for elephants for about 7 years.
Okay, now, what is it about elephants that you particularly like?
So they are incredibly intelligent, incredibly social. They have these beautiful family units, and they're just really emotional, sentient beings, and just incredible to work with.
How many elephants do we have now? Because I know they come and go.
Yeah, so we have 4 elephants at the moment. So we have 3 females. Dina is our matriarch. It was her birthday yesterday. She's 41 years old. And then we have her 2 daughters, Asha and Samaya. And then we have Angbo, who is our male bull elephant. He is the first tusker we've ever had at Dublin Zoo. So very exciting. He's a beautiful, beautiful bull, 5 tons. So that's our current elephant herd.
Now, is he expected to perform?
Oh, he has already performed. So a few weeks ago, he did mate Samaya. So that was about a month ago, but we do have to wait 21 long months for if that was a successful mating. So they do have the longest gestation out of any mammal. So it's 22 months.
You say you have to wait 22 months before you have a birth, but how soon do you know?
So it all
that it's on the way.
Yeah, so we can tell by their fecal samples. So this is quite interesting. So to know if they're pregnant, we actually take regular poo samples. And then to know whose poo is who, we feed them a banana every morning with glitter, a different color glitter. And then we have the fun job, myself and my team, we have the fun job of looking through poo and finding red glitter, gold glitter, and blue glitter. We send that off to a lab, and then they can look at the hormonal samples, and they can do an analysis on the poo, and then we can tell if they're pregnant.
Now, you know, we're always having debates on our program about how many times a human should poo every day, and it's very variable. What about elephants?
I didn't think I was going to talk about this today. Well, I'll tell you what, it's 20 times a day. So 20 times a day, and then that's why us elephant keepers, we don't really have to go to the gym if we don't want to. We've done our bit. So that's a big job of our day, is picking up all that beautiful poo. So 20 times a day, and then we have 4 elephants, so you can do the math there.
Now, you don't have really direct contact with the elephants within their enclosures anymore. I mean, in the history of Dublin Zoo, there was a keeper who was crushed to death by an elephant way, way back in the day, before my grandfather's time. But you do interact with them, but not up close and personal.
Well, it is still quite up close, but it is through a protective barrier. So what we do is we train them through protective contact, and it's always done through positive reinforcement. So all the interactions that we have with them is really positive. And then the reason why we train them twice a day, is to train husbandry-related behaviors. So what we're doing is we're getting them to participate in their own health care. We can do foot care on them, so we can do pedicures, blood draws, health checks, take their temperature, weigh them on a scale. All these things help us to look after them better. But it is done through a protective barrier, so that means there's a training stall with holes cut out in the wall. We can open up ports, have them stick their legs through there, do pedicures on their feet. But what this does is it allows us to, number one, be safe, because obviously they're very large, dangerous animals. Angbo weighs 5,000 kilos. But it also allows us to kind of take a step back and let them be a herd. So we're not overly involved with their social dynamics. We're not in charge of them. They're in charge of themselves. Dina is the matriarch. She's in charge. Whereas if we were in there with them, we'd have to have a level of dominance, which we don't agree with. And so instead, it's this very approach that's very positive, and we give them the choice to interact.
And you also can take their temperature without going near them. Just ask them to open their gobs, tempting them with a banana or whatever. And once they do, you shoot a laser.
Exactly. So we ask them for what we call a salute. So we say salute, and they lift their trunk up into the air. They open up their mouth nice and wide for us. We take a laser temperature gun. We point that to the back of their mouth. We get their temperature, and then we whistle. So that lets them know that they did the right thing. And then after that whistle, it comes a reward. So that's how they know they did the right thing. So that would normally be a banana or an elephant training biscuit, one of their favorite things to eat. So we reserve these special treats for the training. And then during the day, they eat lots of trees and hay. That's their normal diet, but they get special treats for this training to make sure it's very positive.
Okay. Now, in terms of the food that they eat, the whole thing you have to avoid in zoos is that the animals get bored.
Right.
So they have to work for their grub.
Yeah, so elephants eat for about 18 hours a day in the wild. So we want to mimic that natural behavior as much as possible. So what we do is we create different situations for them to eat. So we have elevated feed hay nets where they have to reach up into the air and feed. Elephants have 100,000 muscles in their trunk. So it's very important that they exercise these muscles. So we have to give them a lot of different feeding opportunities. So we hide their food, we give them enrichment, we give them loads of trees, like I said. Like you said as well, we want to make sure they're mentally and physically stimulated. We don't want an easy life at the zoo, we want a real life in the zoo.
And if they're bored, they go for a swim, isn't that it?
That's it, they always have an opportunity to go for a swim, which they love on a rainy day, which we have loads of those.
Now the noise in the background is the arrival of a very large school tour here at Dublin Zoo this morning. Teachers looking over and wondering what the hell is going on. But Jenny, this would be very typical of what happens here every day.
It's a very typical day. So yeah, we've several hundred school students here this morning, and that is actually a core part of our mission. So the mission of Dublin Zoo is to inspire a passion for nature and save wildlife, and this is how we do it. So education is one big part of it. My role is a great privilege. My role as commercial operations is to seek to bring in new visitors to the zoo, hopefully send them home very happy and that they've learned something while they're here. So we've loads of really exciting things happening this summer and this winter in Dublin Zoo.
Now tell me about the unusual events. You've got a running event right through the zoo. How's that going to work?
We do. So yeah, back in March we launched what's called Zoorastic Trail, and that's an animatronic dinosaur exhibition that's running until roughly the 14th of September. And what that means is we have placed 40 animatronic dinosaurs who can roar, breathe, move. They can also poop, although we haven't necessarily turned that function on. But they've been placed right throughout the zoo in line with our 400 species in the collection. And the reason we've done that is to cultivate a conversation around conservation, extinction, and how to prevent that in the wild. So it's been a fantastic opportunity. I joined the zoo a year ago and I've learned more about dinosaurs than I would care to admit in the last year, but it's been fantastic.
Okay, now tell me about the run.
The run, we have a run here on Saturday the 26th of July. It's the first time ever we will have a fun run through Dublin Zoo, and it's in aid of a very good cause. So 7:30 a.m. Saturday 26th of July, we are opening the gates to the general public, everyone from a stroller or a tortoise to a sprinter or a cheetah. You can come and have a run around our 3K loop across the zoo, and it's all in aid of a very, very good cause. So we are partnering up with a conservation charity in Indonesia. They are called Selamat Kanyaki, and they are protecting the species of the Sulawesi crested macaque in the wild. And every euro that is spent on the fun run and everything that happens here that day goes directly to that conservation effort in Indonesia. So it's a fantastic opportunity to get your endorphins moving in terms of running, but also feel really good about how you've spent your money that day too.
And you'd be responsible for all the winter events as well, to keep people coming to the zoo even in what might be called the shoulder or the off season.
Absolutely. So in the last couple of weeks, we'd encourage people to have a look at across our social media channels. We've allowed a number of children to take over the zoo and plan our wildlife and winter experiences this year. So a bunch of very, very clever five-year-olds have worked with Santa himself, and they're working on a top secret mission to plan this year's bigger and better Wildlights Festival and a load of interesting Christmas experiences. And we've lots of good news coming about that over the next few months. So all of that information is available on dublinzoo.ie. And then closer to home, next week we have some really special events at the zoo. We're calling it Zoorastic Trail Takeover, and we're welcoming a really fun guy to the zoo next week by the name of Dino John Lessam. He's a paleontologist by background, a very, very interesting guy, and he was actually the science advisor to Steven Spielberg back in the 1990s for the Jurassic Park movies. He's coming on his very first trip to Ireland. He's also coming to visit us here at Dublin Zoo, and he will be taking part in a number of fun events for adults and kids over Thursday to Sunday next week. Particular shout out for our evening events. They're really, really cool. We have some panel talks, including Dino Don himself, Brandon Farrelly from our education team, and a special guest we've yet to finalise, and that will be hosted actually by John Vardy from News Talk, your good self.
That man is everywhere.
He is everywhere. But no, we're having a really great summer here, and as you can see, the place is alive with school groups, and long may it continue.
Very good. Jenny Dunn, thank you very much. And Christina Murphy, back to the elephants.
Hello. Yes, back to the elephants, back to
off
work.
You go.
Off I go.
Okay, 20 poos a day, is that it?
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.